Dr. Quincast is now on Patreon. If you would like to get early access to the podcast, higher quality files, stickers, and more sent right to your home, please visit patreon.com/drquincast. All support is appreciated and goes right back into producing the podcast.
They said the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quincast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Dr. Quincast. This is Kelly, here with Mark, as always.
Hello,
and
Kelly.
Hey, Mark. And we have a very special guest tonight. Sean Tuvey is joining us to review this episode.
Oh, my God.
Sean, how are you?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Sean.
With you guys again.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking the time to do this. It's super exciting for us for 2022 to have a cast member join us for an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the episode that we are talking about tonight is Fathers and Sons, which is season three. I didn't write down the number. Is it two or is it three?
I think it's two. It's the second episode in the third season.
Yeah, there we go. Season three, episode two. And this is an episode that Sean actually picked. I had kind of proposed a selection of sort of Brian-centric episodes to pick from.
Yeah.
And Sean picked this episode, and I think it's a really fun episode, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Is this your favorite episode, Sean, or is this just kind of it stood out?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot since you guys asked me to do this, and I can't honestly come up with a favorite episode. There's a lot of different ones that I like for different reasons. I think this would be up there among the top ones, but I don't know that I could necessarily pick it as my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's got a lot of humor, a lot of heart, and I think it's a fun episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode. This is one.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I feel like this episode must have just been like a really fun week on set.
Yeah.
Like with all the shenanigans and everything, I just imagine it was probably a blast.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the fact that Lauren actually went right to the table and had his hair dyed.
Yep.
You know, you got to respect that. That's like a De Niro move, really.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, that's another thing I love about the episode, though, the relationship between, you know, Brian's character and Lauren, which we see kind of going on throughout the whole series. But I really like the moments that they have in this episode and kind of the, you know, the way that they help each other along and the way they kind of bond over when they're kind of both going through like a life change of sorts, although sort of like on the opposite ends of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was another reason that I was kind of drawn to this episode is just that relationship with Orson and I know another one that we had talked about was the operation, and that there's a little bit of that grandfather grandson relationship with him in that episode, but I just really think that this one in particular kind of emphasizes that and really. Is really kind of a nice moment of that.
You know, when we spoke to Beth a few months ago, one of the things that she talked about that really stood out to me was how Orson was supposed to have this kind of turbulent relationship with you. It wasn't supposed to be this kind of loving relationship from the very beginning. And you kind of see kind of an inkling of that in the very early episodes where he's such a curmudgeon. And it's just really great that you did kind of create this relationship, and it kind of made its way into the script that, you know, it's kind of like it just kind of organically grew. And I like the fact that your real relationship kind of influenced the actual script. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think, especially in the pilot, you can see, and obviously it was the part was played by a different person,
sure,
in the pilot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then when Orson came on and took on the role, I think it he brought a lot of subtle humor to the role and just kind of changed the direction of it. If you can't tell, I love the guy.
Of course.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
I mean, you know, of course, I mean, this is somebody you spent a tremendous amount of time with at such a young age and basically grew up right in front of him. So, yep. Of course, your relationship with him would have been probably with most of the cast, really. You know, I'm sure, you know, the relationships that you kind of created. I don't know if that's something that we went into when we spoke with you, but how much of a relationship do you still have with the cast members?
As the years go on, it kind of you continue to grow further and further,
sure,
apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I still get in contact with them every once in a while. In fact, I just messaged Chad last week. I saw him, one of a character that he played on. I'm also a big Star Trek fan, and he was in an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, which is my favorite series of Star Trek. And I happened to be walking through a store, and I saw a puzzle of Star Trek, and it had his character on it. And so I took a picture.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sent it as a joke, but. Yeah. It's been, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago now, that we had that last, kind of fan driven,
reunion
get together,
yeah,
there. Mm-hmm. That was great. Gosh, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, but, that was great to kind of get back in contact with people and kind of catch up on some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly, you were around the whole world of Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman during that period. I am very new to the show still. And I kind of wish I jumped on board sooner because of all of the things that kind of were going on with the fandom. But I'm going to play our first clip. I'm just going to get us in. We see the church before it's painted. It's all kind of gross and brown, but we see kind of a cool sky in the background. I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like a really colorful sky. That's about it. Here we go.
Loren Bray was a good man. He worked hard all his life, made a lot of money. Too bad he can't take any of it with him.
Well, he didn't leave it to me.
Loren's last request is that this money be used to put up a statue of himself in the town square.
What for?
Why, for all his accomplishments.
All he did is run a general store.
Now, that's kind of funny.
You're on the top, yeah, right. You like don't even have a job.
he walks a lot. He walks through town on a daily basis with his dog. So, by the way, when Loren jumps up from the coffin, which I think is the whole scene is hilarious. Because he's in this
I love the banter and like all the comments they're, yeah, making. I just think it's like really funny.
But he's in like a real like legitimate gothic, coffin. It's like kind of,
yeah,
crazy looking.
Historically accurate. That's,
yeah, it was.
Was
like, where did that end up? That's in somebody's like living room right now. It must be.
Someone has it, like, in their basement.
Hank, like, turned it into, a bar, you know?
Yeah.
But, it's not like he did anything to talk about.
Except overcharges.
I did not.
You lie down right now. You're dead.
I still have things to do.
I love that line from her. Like, I just thought it was, yeah. You lie down right now. You're dead.
Oh, and then her following up one, like, how do you know I'm a doctor?
Right, exactly.
Sorry, Lauren, but your life's over.
How do you know?
I'm a doctor. So, help me.
How did Joe Lando keep a straight face with that? I mean,
Probably didn't for the first few takes.
For the first few seasons.
Well, I really love this scene too, because it's such a like lighthearted parody of how all these characters are just on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's just like this sort of like exaggerated version of it, kind of in like Lauren's like dream world. And right. I think it's really hilarious.
Yeah. So I thought it was kind of fun. I mean, to start the show like that, I thought was also kind of interesting. Like, there's no indication that it's a dream sequence at first.
Right, yeah.
But then you're like, eh, I kind of get it at this point.
Yeah, and it really kind of sets the stage for the rest of the episode and get kind of bring that comedy in throughout the entire episode. And that's not something that we were dramatic all the time, mm. We tended more towards that than the comedy side of it. Yeah.
But it's kind of refreshing.
And I think because like so many of the situations that came up in the show were dramatic, and that there was a lot of drama, which was done so well that I think that sometimes people who don't know the show really all that well don't realize that there really is kind of a comedic edge to it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, people think of it as like a drama, and I mean, it is, but I think that there is like this real comedic edge to it that really gets overlooked a lot.
That's why our show is so long.
Like, it's like when I like people who like, who I talk to who like don't really watch the show, and they'll kind of like say like what they think it's about. And I'm like, yeah, like you've kind of got it, but there's like so much more to it. You know, like it's like, it really is like, it's more than just like a show about a woman doctor. I mean, like, that's the basis of it, but there's like so much more to it. And it's like, it's more than just like a Western drama. Like, they do some really funny stuff, and I'm like, you just have to like watch it and like get into it, and then you understand.
You know, on paper, when we explain what it's about, I think that we sell it pretty easily. Hank punches horses, you know, there's a saloon. It's not Little House on the Prairie. It's, you know, it's like a much more kind of raw version of Little House on the Prairie, I guess. Not really.
Hey, real quick, Mark, you had mentioned the sky in the background behind mm-hmm. the church in yeah. that opening scene. That was due to the fires that were raging. They happen every couple of years or so, it seems like, in Southern California. But there were numerous brush fires going on. And that one in particular, I believe, is probably just the canyon over to the east from us. And so that's the smoke is what's causing the what looks like clouds and those really brilliant colors there.
That's a really interesting factoid. But, you know, really also Colorado Springs legitimately was having brush fires just less than 10 years ago. Like a huge fire I remember in Colorado Springs.
Well, they just had that really big one like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I missed that.
Not Colorado Springs, but I think like around the Denver area.
It was a little bit more north there, but
yeah. Yeah. A cousin of mine lives in Boulder, or he had a house in Boulder, but then like he and his family it was weird. Like they had just sold their house and like moved to this different town, like sort of nearby, but like a different town. Mm-hmm. And like the week after they sold their house, like their whole neighborhood was like evacuating because of the fire, and most of it was destroyed, which is crazy. And like they had like just gotten out of there. It was like really, the timing of it was
yeah
really
that's
insane.
Like perfect
but yeah
but yeah that's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean it kind of worked out for them, I guess, but I mean like the whole wow.
Yeah,
the whole thing is crazy.
But Lauren wakes up and he's freaking out. Yeah, I guess like anybody would, waking up from a dream. We don't really see Lauren's bedroom too much, I think, you know.
Yeah, he actually has on his like dresser thing, he has more like personal grooming supplies than I would have expected. Not that he's like poorly groomed or anything like that, but he has like this really nice brush and several bottles of things. And I'm like,
You know, it's another thing where the attention to detail and little things like that, and even his little vanity and everything, it appears to be like really period correct. And it's just just one of those things.
Yeah. Our props department and our set design department they did a really great job throughout the series, but
no snow though.
No snow.
Well, no, we can't say no snow. It snowed like a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, Christmas Eve, because that's how it really is in Colorado Springs. They don't get snow that much.
Wait a minute. So I'm gonna ask Sean a question, because this is the big rumor, and I don't know if this is at all true. I don't see how it could be, but what they would say when asked, why is there no snow? The answer that everyone seems to kind of they're on the same page with is that it's not in the budget. It wasn't in the budget. Right? I mean, that's the same reaction that we had. it's insane, right? It wasn't in the budget.
I don't know. whether that's true or not, I do know that it seems like we tended to film like Christmas episodes in like September. So you know it's super hot out and you're wearing all like four layers of wool clothing and trying to pretend that it's 30 degrees out when it's actually 85 and you're just pouring sweat. But it's supposed to be freezing out.
I don't know, it was one of those kind of comments that we both kind of looked at each other and thought, no, I think there's a different answer.
There was one time in particular, I don't remember if it was the same all the times that we had the few times that we did have snow, one time in particular, I know that they use potato flakes instead of snow or water or anything like that.
Well, that's interesting.
And when you're done, you just add a little water and you have mashed potatoes.
That's one of the things. One of the things we always discuss is the amount of potatoes in the show. We're always looking at the food that is on the table, and it's all your character always has like maybe a huge like Pyrex type bowl in front of you, and it's just loaded to the top with potatoes. It's
well, and like carrots, like huge carrots.
Yeah. But like enough carrots for an entire for like a dozen people who love carrots. It's just kind of funny. Like the things we notice are just
I would try not to eat any of it, because when you're doing that many takes of things and that many different angles of things, you try to not eat if you don't have to, because then you're stuck eating for all of the takes and all of the angles.
I want another potato.
And then by the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, kill me now. I've had so many potatoes.
So here's our next clip. So he wakes up and he goes to a horse auction, which, you know, is something we've never seen on the show, right? They don't have normal...
I think this is the only time that we see a horse auction that I can think of. Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is not a broodmare. This is not your cart horse. This is a sorrel gelding. Look at this horse. Lady broke and gentle. What am I offered for this horse? Do not put that money away, sir. This is not a cart horse. Let me start the bidding. $25. Do I hear 25? $25. Do I hear 30?
And we see your character. You might have remembered him. He's Brian. He's making...
First of all, hanging out with Wolf in the back of the wagon.
Right.
Yeah.
That had to be a treat.
Yeah.
And your character's making googly eyes at this young lass.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she does look like she could be related to other characters from the show, but I'm just not really sure. I didn't really look into who this girl was.
Yeah, I've been trying to remember her name. I for the life of me, I cannot come up with it.
Right. Well, we have her live right now. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, right.
How dare you? No.
Define animal. So, do I hear $30? 30, 35. Do I hear 35? 40, 40.
Is this the equivalent of like... going to like a car auction maybe and saying, I'll take the Ferrari, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what kind of Lauren does. He's like, I'll take the Corvette. And he can't control that Corvette, and he just floors it right into, you know, the 7-Eleven across the street or something.
Yeah, right. And but I mean, really, who in Colorado Springs would have been the candidate to have the, like, you know, Corvette version of the horse? I mean, Sully. Maybe. I mean, I'm sure Hank could have handled it, but, like, I don't know. Why would he need, like, the fancy horse, you know? I mean, like, it's like, where's this auctioneer going with this? Like, why would he bring this horse to Colorado Springs? Who's going to buy it?
Well, nobody has farms. We don't really understand where the economy is in Colorado Springs in 1869, 70
Well, I mean, there's like the mining, but
there's mining. Everyone's too clean to really be a miner.
Yeah. Well, Sully was till he like cleaned up his ways, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, sure did.
I'm kind of curious what Dr. Mike and Sully and I are even doing at this auction. Like, is this just like the Sunday afternoon thing to do that?
Right.
You know, anything else? You're gonna go to the horse auction?
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of like going to a concert. You're like, oh, they're coming to town. You can't miss it.
Well, it's the only place where you can get really good lemonade, because she sends. Yeah. Because your character is infatuated with this young lady, and she's, I don't know, Michaela's just kind of, I don't know. I thought it was cute. I thought it was a cute little scene. She's like, Brian.
So, this is also sort of like a precursor to over Christmas, we reviewed Fifi's First Christmas, where Brian gets the little dog, of course, and then develops the relationship with Sarah, who just moved to town. And we were talking in that episode about how Sully is like so like invested in Brian's relationship, which on the one hand, we're like, oh, that's like really nice that he's like actually really encouraging to Brian. He's like acting as a father. He's like giving him advice. Like, he's not like discounting his feelings. But then on the other hand, it was like Brian was like 10 and Sully was like personally invested in making a romance happen, which is kind of weird. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know. But like in this episode too, he's all like, he kind of sees what Brian is doing and he's like, oh yeah, Brian's doing his thing, you know? So he's like, I got it. I got the lemonade.
Right.
He's always just like really like, yeah, just let Brian go do his thing.
I'm just kind of curious if you remember, did Joe Lando always have like a hair person with him? Because his hair is always like really kind of perfect on the show. It's kind of amazing.
I believe that we had multiple makeup and hair people.
Sure.
And I believe that there was one that was specifically focused on his hair. But I honestly, I don't remember for sure.
Sure. I mean, he has a good head of hair, you know, I'll give that to him. We'll leave that right there.
If I wanted to grow my hair long, I'd be jealous of it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right.
One of the things that we've learned is that a lot of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman fans, as well as people who listen to our podcast, have a lot of pets. Or a lot of pets. Kelly has more than a half a dozen pets, I think.
Six pets.
Six pets. All right.
Exactly.
Half dozen. Do you have any pets, Sean?
Yeah, actually. Well,
kids don't count.
If you're counting my daughter's pets, I think we have 7 total.
Wow.
In our house.
Are we talking dogs and cats or turtles?
No, we've got 1 dog, 3 rats, a hamster, and 2 parakeets.
Oh, wow. I love hamsters. I used to have hamsters. Like, for many years, I had hamsters, and I love them. But now I have 4 cats and 2 beagles. So it's like 2 hunting dogs and 4 cats would not work well with rodents in the house.
Yeah, I just have 2 dogs and a 13-year-old son. So that's enough. So Lauren buys the Corvette and floors it. He has no idea how to drive stick shift. He has no idea what he's doing. And that's this scene.
Lauren!
Sully's like, I guess I'll be the hero today. It's kind of a visual thing, but he gets thrown off. And whoever fell pretty hard. I mean, I guess the sound effect really exemplifies how hard we wanted to hear him fall. But the stuntman definitely fell pretty hard.
Yeah, that was a solid stunt.
And let's see. Of course, Dr. Mike is like, I'm going to treat you even if you don't have insurance. And she takes out her patented salve. Salve. It's like this green.
Maybe the same groupie stuff they use in Cattle Drive, right?
Yeah, for the tuchus.
When she had like 6 jars of it with her for everybody.
It seemed like she had like jars and jars for everybody's butt. But here's that. We've made it to the clinic.
I want you to take a hot bath and Epsom salts tonight. Then have Dorothy rub some of this into your shoulder.
I can do it.
You're going to be very sore for a few days. You should rest. Take it easy.
I'm fine. Oh.
Body doesn't heal as fast when you get older.
Mine does. Anything else?
You were lucky. Very lucky. Lauren, do you think it's wise for a man of your age to be taking chances like that?
You think I can't handle that horse?
What I think is that you could have hurt other people.
Well, I didn't.
Good point. No, it's a terrible point.
I mean, I do kind of think that she could have approached it a little bit more sensitively. Like, she reminds him how old he is a couple of times, which is probably not what he wants to hear. I don't know. I feel like she could, I don't know, maybe just not really emphasize how old he was and maybe taking like a different approach. Just
her character has a terrible bedside manner. I mean, there's that one thing where she's talking about hemorrhoid. What was it? Like, they had something to do with his butt. And the word butt again. And she was using her fist with her thumb through her index finger and middle finger.
Oh,
and I was like,
he had the hernia.
Oh, yeah, the hernia, not hemorrhoid.
Yeah, and, healing.
Big difference, I guess.
Two very different.
Two different visuals, too. I'm sorry. but the butt. So, but yeah, I just remember her saying that. And then she was like kind of giggling about it. And it's like, you're talking about some serious operation back then. There was no penicillin. Yeah,
right. Like, he could die from this. Right. Oh,
where's Wolf? So here we go. We're going to, enter Hank, which, is just always fun for the show, I think.
How's your horse, old man?
That's fine.
And he's unpacking whiskey, you know, like no brand or anything. It's just whiskey.
That's what it always is on the show. He has like these crates of whiskey.
Right. It's like generic, you know, like rot gut.
Yeah.
And Kelly, do you want to talk about exactly what's going on here? Is this a prank?
Like, kind of like brings the box over and he's kind of looking like, kind of touching his hands like, ooh, that feels kind of like, what's going on? Sticky, wet? We don't know. He goes to like the wagon and there's a beer barrel. He's kind of feeling around and it appears to be leaking. And then he's kind of, as he's poking around on it, it sort of just like explodes on him.
Yeah. Was that a prank or is that just a mistake and he just got goofed on for it?
No, that was written in the script.
I mean in the script. Do you think, like, because the entire plot begins kind of a back and forth pranking between him and Jake, so do you think this was like an initial prank in for the script?
No. Think it was an accident that happened, but mm-hmm. then Jake's reaction to it and his subsequent ratting of Hank because of that is then what led to the rest of the pranking.
The razzing.
Well, it's like Jake's reaction and the rest of the saloon, basically. Like, everybody comes out and they're just, like, laughing.
Right. I thought he took it better than I thought he would. His character, of course. And, you know, I know sometimes you see a character on some of these shows, on this particular show, and they just kind of storm off like they're mad.
Yeah. Well, I'm almost surprised that, I could totally see Hank just rolling with, like, not being mad that he got this beer all over him. And, like, you know, I could totally see him rolling with that. But I'm kind of surprised he didn't make some sort of comment about like the monetary aspect of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that he like lost this entire barrel of beer. Cause we have other episodes too, where he's like that episode when the Jewish family comes to town and he starts like buying stuff from them. And he's kind of like,
customer,
oh, well, they give me a better deal. Like, I'm only worried about now, better business deal. Like, he's like very business minded. So I'm kind of surprised that he's just willing to like kind of, well, and then as the pranks escalate, he obviously wastes more alcohol when he's right. Like, I mean, like a lot of alcohol is wasted in this episode because it's like they're always just like dumping barrels of it like over each other. I don't know. I guess maybe he just decides that it's worth it for the prank or something.
I can almost see Hank making a joke, kind of saying, "Oh, keep laughing. I'm just going to raise the price of everything."
Yeah. You
know, that would have been a typical, like, I guess, Hank thing.
Yeah.
Brian goes and spies on Colleen One. We refer to her as Colleen One, clarifies, and which is just one of those creepy things. We were both like, kind of like wondering if we were going to bring it up, but you have to even kind of realize that, I don't know, Brian spying on his own sister is just weird.
Yeah, it is. It's a little weird. The only thing I can say in his defense is that she's got her friends with her, so it's not just her. But right.
Yeah, maybe he was like looking at the friends and not her, but it's still a little weird.
Well, we know it wasn't you. There's no... But he has a friend with her. Do we ever see this friend again, Kelly?
Yeah, he's in a couple of episodes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Steven? What, was that his name? I forget his character's name.
Yep, Steven. That was Ross Malinger. He was... he was in Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't he in the episode Permanence of Change?
Wait a second.
No, not that one. What's the one called when like the teacher comes to town and she was like using corporal punishment on the students?
Oh, yeah.
He's in that episode because he's like late to school sometimes because he has like a really long walk or falls asleep or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember him from that episode.
He's got a perfect part in his hair.
Yeah.
Whoops. And here we are. We're back in the mercantile. Lauren's picked up a suit and he's... I like the suit and it didn't really get sold to me as like such a loud, crazy suit, but apparently it is.
I mean, maybe like in the context of what other people in Colorado Springs are wearing, but maybe not even that much because like Hank has some really crazy vests. I mean, we talk about Hank's vests
and
all the
scarves,
time.
You know, he's dressed like a mid-90s like metal singer. Pretty much.
I don't know. It's like, I mean, I actually think that the jacket is like kind of nice and like the vest is a little bit loud, but the way they're all just like it fits good. Yeah. Like there's nothing else to say about it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad.
I was saying, I think it should have been either silk, like a shiny silk or maybe crushed velvet.
Yeah, it should have been like way more exaggerated for it to be like, oh my gosh, hat. I can't believe he's wearing that.
And a top hat.
Well,
sure. And a cane top hat, monocle. Yeah, that would have been really funny. It's a lot of country music in this, right? You were saying?
Yeah, Kelly? They're really like going crazy with the music.
Yeah. It's pretty visual too, but it's kind of funny. Sully comes in with money for once.
Yeah, he has money in his hand. But this is like pre-Rondelay, like the episode with the window fight. This is before that, so he still has some money because he didn't have to spend it all in the window. Yeah. I love Lauren's laugh. He always has a little like...
You know, that's one thing we've noticed with Orson Bean is, you know, you could just freeze frame him and he always is making just an interesting face. Like, it's always...
Yeah. He's so, like, expressive and he makes funny little noises and he just...
The man was a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, looking back at his whole career is always an eye-opening thing. And if somebody... you can easily just search his name on YouTube and find stuff he was just doing his whole life, and just a really, really wonderful career, and of course such a tragic ending.
Yeah.
But here he is in one of the more funny episodes, I mean, for his character. There's a lot of music in this clip.
Yeah. So.
Lauren, those hinges come in yet?
Oh, yeah. They come in this morning. So, what do you think of my new suit?
Fits you real good.
Exact change.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It'd be funnier if Sully's like, fits you real good. Keep the tip.
So Sully, I mean, you might be picking up on the fact that we're always looking at Sully's character as a kind of this hippie character who's just this wanderer, you know, right? And I don't know, it's just really hilarious to me sometimes when you're just watching it, like, what do you do during the day, sir?
Yeah.
And he's just always walking, never in a rush, really, unless some, you know, horse is out of control.
Yeah.
He hasn't started on the homestead yet, I don't think. I don't know.
No. He does build an entire house, and that is something I don't feel as though I'd be capable of.
Well, I mean, he does that, and then he's building Preston's house, but then he, like, abandons it when he wants to go commit crimes.
When he wants to create federal crimes.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's the hero. He's, yeah. But his hair always looks great. Let's see. So another thing that happens, I think, that's really hilarious in this episode is Lauren dyes his hair, which is just, I just love the fact that Orson Bean, and I said it before, most likely dyed his hair for real for this. Had to have, right? I mean, do they have dark rinses like that? They must, right?
Yeah, it wasn't like semi-permanent or anything right. Like that.
But it's like when your hair is so gray, I would imagine that no matter what you use in it, would create some type of lasting something.
He probably had to rinse it out a few times after
the
episode got done.
But I think this guy.
That, like, and we'll kind of get to it at the end of the episode, but like, I don't even know. So like in the context of, you know, this period in time, what would he have been using on his hair that could be like removed so easily? Because at the end of the episode, we have Dorothy coming down with like a pitcher of what appears to be water. And she's all like, oh yeah, we're going to get this right out. I'm like, how though? Yeah.
I don't know what they would have used to dye it back then. Because I mean, I guess you could use ink, but I mean, ink is pretty messy.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what you would use indigo if you want blue.
It's like punk lore, right?
Right. That'd be well, learning more about Orson Bean, I can probably imagine that there's a photo out there with him with blue hair. Maybe.
I wouldn't be out of the question.
Right. I wouldn't be too surprised if that existed. So Dorothy's the only person who's willing to open up her mouth about the hair and how bad the suit is. So I'll play some of that.
You're here.
Can't fix it up a bit.
Fix it? Well, it looks like you got dipped in a tar bucket. Will that stuff come off?
I don't want it to come off. I don't like it.
It looks ridiculous. And that suit.
Know, honestly, like, it doesn't look as bad as she's
No,
acting.
It really doesn't.
Like, it's kind of shocking, I guess. But I don't know. I don't think it looks that bad.
Yeah, I think hair might look kind of ridiculous.
Looks as bad on you as it did in the catalog.
I like it. I'm tired of the same old things, Dorothy.
I like it.
Yeah.
That looks good. Do you want to explain what Sure Did is? Because Sure Did, we have a clip of the Matthew character saying Sure Did. So Chad Allen, of course.
Do you even have a cue up to play it? Or
no,
is it
going to
be completely out of context?
It's going to be a little bit out of context until I find it.
Okay. Well, so we reviewed for Halloween. We did is it Halloween 2? The one when the
With the plastic surgery.
Yeah, well, like the train guy with like the accident. She did plastic surgery on his face.
You sure did.
And then, yeah, there it is.
You sure did.
Like after she does the plastic surgery, and the whole town is like, you know, the angry mob assembles to like protest the whole plastic surgery thing, and they're all like afraid of him. They think he's a monster, and they're all like. At the end of it, like, you know, Sully and the kids, they're all like, oh, look, it looks really good. And then
it's like, Dr. Mike did a very good job.
Dr. Mike did a good job. And then Matthew's like, she sure did.
Yeah,
she sure did.
And it's so weird because it's like, you just have to watch it. Once you see it, you think, all right, Mark and Kelly are not going to get my... responses anymore is what Sean will say. No, it just became like kind of like this ongoing joke because the way that it's filmed and everything, it just seemed the way he was delivering the line was just really, really bringing home. It was just kind of an odd thing. But yeah, it sure did make a lot of laughter happen.
Sure did.
So, all right, let's see. We have we're looking through medical books. Which isn't always the most raunchy of material, I would imagine.
Well, not to mention at this point in time would have been like drawings, right?
Right. It's yeah.
Hey, man, you got to work with what you got.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely. I mean, I know that in Little House on the Prairie they were talking about the brassieres in the catalog, which were also drawings. So I guess everything was. I mean, what 99% of everything was drawings. Let's see. So they get busted. They get busted, you know, looking at, as Kelly wrote, ovaries, you know, it's.
Well, actually the kids don't get busted. Sully gets busted.
Right. Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, so he's looking at the book and he kind of seems to be enjoying it. Like he picks up the book and he's kind of like,
yuck.
All right. He's like almost starting to like, he's like starting to sit down and like look at the book. Like he's like, yeah. Right. And then like Dr. Mike comes
like,
in.
Look out the window to make sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. He wants to bring it back to the lean to for some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here
we go. What are you doing?
I'm holding it for a friend.
Yeah.
I say I'm a little surprised.
Well, so was I when I caught Brian doing the same thing.
Why would he?
Oh, sure, Sully. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's just throwing Brian right under the bus. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Way to narc on me, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you should beat that kid.
Yeah.
Brian was looking at these pictures?
Him and his friend, Steven.
He's just really quick to just everybody.
Right. It's like he almost expected. That, like, Dr. Mike could be like, oh, his new Steven was trouble or something.
That would be funny. That's Steven. I think he's half Italian. No. So, yeah.
They're at that age.
What age?
Have you ever had a talk with Brian about birds and the bees?
I mean, procreation. Well... Not exactly.
Don't you think it's time he knew what happens between a man and a woman when they fall in love and get married? And about snuggling? Kissing?
Snuggling. It's funny because...
Yeah, and, like, he's not using it as, like, an excuse to just, like, flirt, basically. It's so weird.
And she, I mean, her character really pulls off this... Michaela kind of holier than thou, but like this pure woman.
She's prudish. I mean, like she doesn't prudish, want to like, you know,
but she really pulls it off really well, I think. And, for the time until of course the train comes because Brian made the sex room, the sex train.
Yeah. By the way, Sean.
What now?
Maybe even Donnie sex train. At the time, like, the episode when Dr. Mike and Sully get married and Brian's like contribution to it is that John helps him, like the train conductor, John, helps him to like revamp the train, what do you call it, the car or whatever.
The caboose.
Yeah, the
car. Sure did.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I'll say it's good that she had this talk with me then.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
You really took the talk seriously, I guess.
Yeah.
I like how Sean's like, I did what?
Yeah.
All right. All right. So what do you want to talk about, like, kind of what's going on in town, Kelly?
So we have Matthew's kind of hanging out with Jake and Hank, which is a little bit interesting because it's not really that often we really see him hanging out with them. And he's kind of like, you know, jabbing Hank about, you know, like the smell and stuff, I guess, from all the beer that he was drenched with. And then we learn that Lauren is going to Bolivia.
Bolivia. I've never, there's such a weird pronunciation of it too. Bolivia.
Bolivia.
Let's see. I did not queue up this next clip yet, but here we go.
Yeah.
Why are you at? So this is you, Sean, and Chad Allen's character, Matthew. And I don't know, Matt's character is always doing like handyman stuff that just seems kind of random to me. Which yeah, well, is always
I feel
fun.
Like every he's like always just finishing a task at the Widow Browns or like about to go to the Widow Browns like to do something.
Gotta go cut down a tree. Yeah,
go something. To the Widow Farnsworths. And
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ask me about that.
Don't you know?
Of course I know. I figured you did too.
I know a thing or two, but I don't know everything.
What do you sure mean don't. By a thing?
What?
Sure don't.
Sure don't.
You sure did. Or two. Brian, do you know where babies come from?
Sure did.
Yeah. I do. I've seen that around here plenty of times with the animals.
Well, all right, if you know that, then what more do you want to know?
I want to know about girls.
Well, don't ask me about that.
When I was 10, I was just climbing trees. Brian's all interested.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for you.
Can't make sense of anger half the time we're talking.
This is also the super cute era of your character, Sean, where your hair is very Dutch boy.
Oh, that awful bowl cut.
You hated it. That was my question. I was like kind of curious what you thought of your hair during this period of time. Not now so much, but when you were a kid, did you hate it?
That was just what it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But when really it goes back, it
one way or the other, but you talked about Fifi's First Christmas earlier. That was the episode where I changed my hairstyle.
Yes.
And they had this whole sequence, a couple of scenes that explained that I supposedly went over to the water trough and dunked my hands in there and used it to slick back my hair. Mm-hmm. But they cut that out. So it's just randomly from one scene, I go from having the bowl cut to the cuts to the next scene and my hair's slicked back. So
I would have loved that little scene. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's like really interesting to know because it's such a little detail, but I feel like it really adds a lot to what's going on and like the character development and kind of like what the character was doing and feeling at the time.
Well, it was something that I, as me personally, as I was getting older, I started to realize that I was looking like kind of a dork. So
yeah,
I wanted to grow up a little bit and one way that I could kind of control that was changing the hairstyle and Matthew or Chad had that hairstyle that I wanted and is that's same hairstyle that all the 90s boys had.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's parted down the middle and it's slick or it's kind of pulled back on the sides. Yeah. But that's what I wanted. And to try to be cool like Chad and everybody else, and it never really materialized the way I wanted it to, but
I thought it looked good. On the contrary, I thought that the hairstyle change was pretty good for the character.
It's better than the bowl cut for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of I think most things are better than the bowl cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, being on a show, probably, I mean, everybody on the show has good hair. It's one of those kind of weird things. Like Jake, I mean, all right, he's the barber, but, and who cuts his hair? But he's got, you know, and his character has great hair. We, of course, talked about Sully. We're not going to talk about Sully again. And, you know, Orson Bean has a pretty good head of hair. You know, it's just, you know, hair is a pretty big part. And Chad Allen, too.
Yeah, when like even like Horace, who he's like supposed to be kind of like that dorky character, but it's like he's pretty well groomed. I mean, like with the hair and like the sideburns.
Looks
and
like
stuff.
A 50s greaser, like, you know.
Yeah, he has like a whole thing going on.
Yeah. But I love this scene. I think you do too, Kelly. Sean, I'm gonna say you love this scene too. I mean, this little montage of getting advice.
Just, oh yeah,
it falls into that character, into that whole humor aspect that we don't get too often on this show.
Trying to understand them, that's your first mistake.
It is?
Don't matter if she's 5 or 50, she's gonna always do something to try and keep you confused, off balance.
But why?
It's just the way women are. Been doing it since the Garden of Eden.
Then how do you ever know what women want?
You have to guess.
Guess? Why can't you just ask them?
Oh, if a woman has to tell you what she wants, she gets mad because you didn't think of it first.
But it could be anything.
Well, that's true.
Horace has those chops. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Those.
He does.
Like, looks like two pork chops. Man. That's crazy.
That's why you all.
What? I'm sorry.
He actually looks like he could have existed in this period of time.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
The bow tie, everything really kind of comes together.
Always got to be looking, watching for signs.
What kind of signs?
You got to watch their eyes. When Myra gets a hankering for something, her eyes get like this. And sometimes she gets this funny little smile on her lips.
And we get this like physical reenactment, which is just so funny. And then we're like, oh, that's ridiculous. And then Myra comes out and she actually does that exact face, which I think is
really funny. And I mean, really, like, they were pretty well aligned with their, like, facial expressions on this. It was pretty good.
Like, I have to wonder if like they asked like people to impersonate each other for that particular scene. Like at the script reading or something like that. It's like, I do his face, now you do her face, you know. All right, so the pranks have started. Hank is pranking Jake back, and this one's it's pretty visual. But I'll play the clip because it's just fun to listen to. Jake goes into his chair and crazy fun stuff happens. And it's very like Home Alone right there. He sits back on his chair, pulls a rope, and a barrel splashes him with beer.
You know, Jake, that... Your hair tonic you're using smells a lot like beer.
It's the mob. The mob is now, we call the people who kind of congregate whenever there's anything going on in town the mob.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people are just wandering around the town with nothing to do.
Except that's what we always say. We're not like, sorry. What are these people doing? Like, they're just waiting for something to happen so that they can just latch onto it.
And very often these people were made up of not just extras and actors. There were also people who were fans of the show, right? Like the mob. At least I read that. I could be wrong.
not on camera.
I could have sworn that they actually would bring people in. I mean, people claim this.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but not that I'm aware of it. There were, we had a few of the background actors that were like regulars that you'd see them all the time.
They're like Santa, we call him.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
And the old lady.
There's a little old lady too, Carmen.
Carmen.
Sweetest lady.
That's awesome. But yeah, we're always looking for that. We're always looking for the, we approach Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, kind of the way people approach the White Album. We try to pick it a piece, you know, pick each little thing and connect the dots, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite things about the mob is that when there's like a scene with the whole mob, if you just like listen, and I always hear it better like if I'm having headphones in, but you just hear like these people like yelling stuff in the background. They just say like the funniest stuff, and I just think it must have been like so fun to have been one of the actors in the mob.
So you want to know what's funny about that is they the people that were actually on set did not say any of those things. That was all. That's all looped in.
All to like all ADR
after the fact. Yep.
Oh wow.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
They come in and do those sound background acting clips and just overlay it over the video.
It makes sense because you know then they can control every aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Huh. I don't know if that makes it like that's like satisfying or not to know. Because on the one hand, on the one hand, I liked imagining people just like yelling this stuff like in the crowd, right? But on the other hand, that they like specifically picked like these funny little lines to be in there, I think is really good too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like I don't know.
The magic of television.
Yeah. Because like they say some really funny stuff, like these funny little lines that I just think are just they just like make it for me. Like the mob, I love the mob.
And I feel like we're the only ones who are listening this close, so we're the only ones who get to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But here we go. We're now going to go face to face with Michaela and Brian.
You're making way too much out of this.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. That was the wrong clip. Michaela's all upset. Well, so,
Brian has just spied on Colleen for the second time.
Oh, is that where he gets poked in the eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a creep you are, Sean.
Yeah.
It's at that point, you really have to put your foot down, I think, as a parent. We have to... Time to have a little talk. Even, I don't know, even Wolf is giving him, like I'm going to bite this kid.
But all he did was take a little peek. All boys do it.
Now, this is a very weird message coming from Sully. I think his advice is a little off base, but hey, you know, he's on his leisurely stroll of the day, so he's trying to burn off some of this energy.
Yeah. My favorite part is like we're always looking at like what Wolf is doing. So when he was like, "All boys do it," and Wolf kind of like turns and looks at him like, "Yeah,
you tell her, Sully."
Yeah.
I didn't have a sister. My best friend did.
Sully.
I was about 10 years old. How old were you when you first saw a naked man?
Sully.
How old were you?
Oh, I was 26. Wolf he whines. Was 54, and I
He's
was
like, dissecting. Sully, stop. He's like whining, like, don't push her.
Ding him. So?
My offer still stands. You want me to talk to him? I will.
Thank you, but I believe it's something I should do myself.
There's the music.
Yeah. And then she proceeds to give like the most boring
I'm gonna play like 10 seconds of it. This is like everybody's nightmare. This is worse than health class.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it really is.
In the first stages of life, the functional difference between men and women are comparatively slightly marked. But the approach of puberty in both brings about clearly defined internal and external changes. The male is attended by a characteristic alteration of the voice, owing to the development of the pulmonary anatomy.
I just wish they had your character yawn or something.
Yeah. Well, at the end, he pretty much is like, you're resting your head, on your hand, and you're like, And, as this time goes on, every time they show Brian, it's like you're, stooped a little lower, and you're a little more like,
It's just a really funny little scene. It's, at the same time, I guess we have to give this character a little bit of a pass. She's not a mother. She's wasn't prepared for this. She did have 3 years to prepare.
Well, so something I was thinking about earlier when I was thinking about getting ready to record this. So this is her first time, doing this sort of, trying to do this sort of talk anyway with one of the children, because in the first season, when Matthew's caught on the barn with Ingrid, then Sully goes and kind of talks to him, and he's just like, so, you know how babies are made? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, all right. And then, like, that's, like, the end of it, basically. Like, it's, like, a really, like, you know, not much of a talk. And then, well, and then, like, with Colleen, like, you know, her mother was visiting, and her mother, like, you know, talked to her about stuff. And then Michaela kind of, like, in that episode when, with the sweetheart dance, when she, like, steals Becky's boyfriend, and they were, like, kissing and stuff, and she was, like, practicing kissing, and then Michaela was, like, kind of confronting her about it, like, oh, you're not going to do stuff, right? Like, you don't want to, like, do things that would lead to other things. And that was, like, the extent of that. So, like, with those kids, it's, like, it was very, like, just on, like, kind of, like, avoiding it. Like, oh, you just don't want to do stuff that, like, you know, could be bad. But then, like, with Brian, she's all, like, full force. Like, I'm going to do, like, the whole, like, biological lecture.
Yeah, it's like a college course in
yeah.
anatomy.
we have this weird scene where Brian just he's having a nightmare about puberty and he's
basically he's having like all these like flashbacks to all of the information he's taken in.
And he's sleeping in the barn, and I couldn't, Kelly, you were asking me, I'm not sure.
Remember, Sean, like, when did you start sleeping in the barn? Because I remember that Matthew always did, but, like, when did Brian move out to the barn? Because he slept in the house at first, didn't he?
Yeah, I did, and I don't remember when I did move out to the barn. I remember it being a thing. I couldn't tell you when that was.
Interesting.
But I feel like, not too long after this, then they would have moved out to the new homestead, and then it would have been completely different. But
right, yeah.
Yeah, everybody was lived in the house then, even Wolf.
Yeah.
Wolf's like, look at these walls.
Yeah.
It's better than the lean-to.
Yeah.
So
do you think that Sully still like left his lean-to like up in the woods? Even when they moved into the house. Like his
I think he would go there from time to time. When he needed to really sleep, that's where he would go. Bring some snacks, you know.
Yeah.
Have a vision quest out there.
Yeah.
So Brian runs away, right? So Brian runs away and he goes, he gets chased by a bear and he just runs into Lauren, who's supposed to be in Bolivia. Which is just so weird.
I think the scene, rather, is really funny. Like, he, like, climbs up this tree, mm-hmm. and then he, like, looks over, and, like, Lauren has also climbed up the tree. The
same tree. It's like they're in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
I'll play this.
Brian!
Ray! What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Bolivia!
Aren't you glad I ain't? That bear's been after me ever since I set up camp. You better get over here before he knocks that tree down.
I can!
You can. Here, take my hand. Come on, do it! You can do it! Take my hand! Come on, do it!
See, I think in the original script, Lauren would have said, all right, you're on your own, kid.
Yeah.
There's no room over here. Just jump down and run.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you could imagine, like, first season Lauren saying that, but by this point, I think that their relationship has developed sure. enough that he actually is really, you know, helping him along and everything.
Yeah, Lauren really becomes, like, kind of a grandfather figure in the on the show, and I don't know, I think it becomes, like, a really, really strong relationship on screen, and I believe you had a pretty good relationship with him in real life, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So they slept in the tree, because who doesn't do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the barn is more comfortable than the tree, is it not?
It is.
Before we move on to that, I just want to marvel at the fantastic, realistic bear chasing us there. If I remember correctly, that was one of the stand-ins that they put in a bear suit and had them... climb up and rock the tree to
Was that Santa?
Yeah. That must have been fun. I would imagine being the person in the bear suit would be fun.
So let me just get this straight. You didn't have snow. You had the but you had money for the bear suit.
Yeah.
That was in the budget.
If you look at it, it's not the best quality bear suit.
It was dark though. I think it was intentionally shot dark.
Yeah.
I'd run if I saw that thing running towards me.
So while we're talking about bears, so the episode, was it in the first season when she rides out to that homestead and the guy had been killed by the bear, but she like buries him and then the bear is like after her and Sully has to go like save her and the bear is like trying to knock down the door and stuff. I mean, like, was that a real bear? Because that bear looked more realistic.
Yeah, that was a real bear that they brought on set. And they wouldn't let me be on set with the bear just because of since I was so small and their natural instincts.
Right.
So I heard this secondhand, but I believe that they just had basically like a wire around the bear's area that's, you know, it was trained that wire was electrified or, you know, whatever it was that caused it to not go past that wire. But that was how they kept the bear contained where they wanted it. But before they shot that scene, we went over there while the bear was still in its cage before it was in the scene. We got to go over and watch it, and it was really cool to be that close to, because it was a big bear, but I just remember it was kind of pacing and it just watched me the whole time.
Oh wow.
Hey, that looks like some easy prey there.
Yeah, so what's the reason for using the fake bear, or like the bear suit or whatever in this scene? Was it because you were in the scene, or is it just because of the like close proximity they couldn't realistically use a real bear and that's why they used the suit?
Probably a little bit of both. I don't know for sure, but budget might have fallen into that as well.
Looking back, do you have any memories of dealing with animals that you normally wouldn't, like this bear? I mean, you didn't deal with that particular bear, there was one where I believe, was it an eagle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being that close to an eagle is pretty intense.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Gosh, I'm trying to think. I know we did have a fair number of animals on the show, but the only ones I can think of is that eagle.
That's the big standout to me is being near such a huge bird like that.
And I mean, they're really majestic birds.
Yeah, I love that episode. I forget the name of the episode, but that particular episode I always thought was pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, that was isn't that the one when Matthew becomes addicted to gambling?
Yes.
I sure did.
Yeah, he could have, I don't know, he could have bought that town.
Yeah.
If he let the gambling kind of keep rolling, let's keep doubling it.
Yeah.
But silly Ingrid.
Yeah.
Get involved.
Oh, and then Eddie Vedder's lookalike comes to town.
Yeah, that's right. Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. That's the gambler, like the, I don't know, the Lord gambler. I don't know what you would call him. The expert gambler looks exactly like Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam. Yeah, we have this like in our head, like you know, the period of time in the mid-90s, and we're like, oh, this guy looks like that from band, Alice in Chains, and all of these bands. Taking you back to your childhood, Sean.
Yeah.
The grunge days. So here we are. This is after sleeping in the tree. I'll play some of this.
Right. Wake up, Brian.
So, yeah, it's a lot of but this is how I would probably feel. I think most people might feel like, kind of like, oh, I just slept in a tree. this coming weekend, I'm sleeping out two nights. We're camping out, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Well, you're not going to be in a tree, though.
No, I'll right? be in some
hopefully not.
Cot type of thing.
Yeah.
Like a mesh type cot. So, let's see. What should I play next? Next prank?
Yeah, I love the pranks. I really love this kind of sub-storyline of the episode because I think it's really interesting how we have, you know, like Brian and Lauren are kind of struggling with like age-related struggles. Like they don't really want to like cope with being the age that they are, or they're like confused by it. And then we have like Hank and Jake, who are kind of the opposite, where they're like adults and like business owners in the town, but they're like just acting like kids and just having like a really fun time.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a really nice like juxtaposition.
I love these two characters
with the Lauren and Brian thing.
I'd say Hank and Jake are the reason why I really kind of held on to the show, because I just think they bring so much to the table, and then all of these other stories just kind of pulled me in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just fun to see how kind of crazy and wacky they both are. So here we go.
Put it on the back there. Well, yeah, like his daddy was. Probably had
40 acres. So I guess that would all be like that, like looped in stuff, right?
Yeah, you hear the guy saying 40 acres.
Yep. Yeah, that's all looped in.
So Hank finds that he was put a nail under the horse. Is that right, Kelly?
Well, I think that he is like suspecting that. Like he's looking under the like the saddle blanket. Because he's thinking, like, oh, this is going to be the thing. And then he finds a thing, and he's thinking, like, oh, I've got it. I'm good now. But he's not. Because then Jake busts out the gun.
I thought that would be just such a cruel joke. I mean, these two are relentless, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, I actually think the way that he set it up was pretty, like, ingenious.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he's going to find that easily. And
yeah, like, he's going to find that, and then he'll think he's good. Then he goes to get on the horse, but then he falls into the trough, and then I'm going to shoot the barrel.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty visual, but he takes it really well. I'm going to just play the aftermath.
Hank is just, like, laughing. Like, he loves it.
Yeah. Yeah, Hank, it looks like he just walked out of a kegger or something like that. He's just covered in beer and...
Yeah.
He's like, bleh. Pretty good, Jake. Good. And Michaela comes running out.
Did Jake shoot you?
No, I fell off my
Did
horse.
Did Jake shoot you?
Right.
Did I mean, Jake like, yeah, like, people get shot in the town, but, like... Like, that's when that would happen. Like, Jake just shoots Hank.
He's like, no. Not this time.
Let me see. What is it first?
Right there.
Like, no, Michaela, that was last week.
What?
No, Michaela, that was last week.
Exactly.
Shocking.
You could have broken your neck.
Will you see what I got in store for you, Jake? It's gonna be real fried.
I can't believe you're doing this. Two grown men acting like schoolboys?
Yeah. Never had this much fun when I was in school.
It's just, like, kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy that she's so upset about it, too, though. But that's, like, really in line with her character, that she's always just sort of, like, meddling in other people's lives. And
that's her character.
Pointing out, you know, how they don't really... jive with what she thinks people should be doing. But yeah, I love their pranks, and I think it's like, you know, they're just having a good time with it, and the whole town seems to be having a good time with it. Like, they're all laughing and stuff.
Ha, ha. yeah The mob. So Sully and Matthew track Brian and Lauren. They find them, and it's kind of a strange little scene where Brian wants to play catch with Lauren, and Lauren doesn't want to, of course, because Lauren doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And let's see. What should I play next?
Well, I think you should go to like 3112, which is like me every morning when my dogs wake me up at 6 o'clock.
All right, hold on.
Supposed to use two hands, Mr. Bray.
I don't want to play. I don't want to do this. Don't you understand?
That's pretty classic. My dog's my dogs never want to play. My dogs just want to go out so they can run around and pee on things. Come on.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting that we have Sully kind of spying on them, making sure everything's good, that they're safe.
I think that the way that Sully handles the whole thing, though, like, he handles this better than, like, anybody else in town. Because, I mean, like, he kind of, while we said earlier, it's a little weird that he makes the comment with Brian where he's just like, oh, all boys do it, whatever. Like, it's like, I mean, like, yeah, it's, like, normal to have the inclination, but do you really want to, like, support the behavior? So it's, like, a little bit weird. But in general, I think that he is able to, like, deal with this better than, like, anybody else with, like, Brian and with Lauren. Because, like, he kind of, like, gets where Brian is coming from. And he gets that, like, you know, Dr. Mike's approach to it is not really what Brian needs right now. Mm-hmm. And then, like, with Lauren, like, we come at it later on, but, like, he's, like, the only one who really, like, he's the one who, like, helps Lauren feel better.
But I think that's also a trend. That's a trend for the show very often is that I think it's one of the reasons why the viewers like your character so much, Sean, is because we are seeing kind of, you know, they kind of work with each other in a lot of ways. There's just a number of ways where Brian turns to him like a grandfather. And in turn, you know, you would think that maybe Lauren doesn't get anything from Brian. But then the little things like this, and all of a sudden he's feeling better about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's a well-written show. I mean, little things like that. I think there's a lot of care put into these characters. What's next, Kelly? It's a lot of visuals because, you know, Sully's hanging out with Wolf. Yeah,
the pranks and everything are all really visual. I think that probably next we can go to, like, 3343, where it's, like, they're still talking about women, which one thing that I didn't really pick up on until I watched it today again was that, like, they started talking about women when they woke up in the morning, like, coming down from the tree, and it's now dark and they're still talking. So, like, they were talking all day.
Yeah.
Is this the clip where get them something practical, something they can use, like a new broom?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, oh, you always got to do it on anniversaries. That's important.
Actually, that is a different clip. I think it's 3433, maybe.
Really? I thought it was 3343.
That's Michaela and talking to Colleen One.
Oh, did I mess that up? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Ah!
All right, but here we go. I can roll with it.
You know, with a little present, I always like to get something practical, you know, like new broom, something she can use around the house.
Like a ham, some bacon.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I say that to my wife all the time. Something practical, something like a new broom.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like that.
And he's so proud of himself, too, when he says that. He's like, yeah, that's a good idea. A broom.
Well, when you think about, like, in the context, because we've talked about this in past episodes, what we know about Lauren and his relationship with his now-deceased wife. And we know that he's been in love with Dorothy, you know, like, the whole time. But he says things about his wife, like, we respected each other. You know, stuff like that, where it, like, doesn't seem like, it seems more like it was sort of like a, I mean, I think that they liked each other.
Like a marriage of convenience.
But it was more kind of like, and I mean, like, Lauren seems kind of concerned with, like, who's going to run the business with him. Like, with when we learn about, like, the past with Sully and Abigail, that, you know, he had this, like, other fiance set up for Abigail. And he's all like, oh, who's going to run the store with me? Like, he seems concerned about, like, who's going to run the store with me? Mm-hmm. Like, who's going to do business with me? And it just seems like, you know, and like his wife obviously was like a really good partner for running the business. But then like just if he's approaching like his marriage kind of from like that standpoint, like he's all like, what you need, Maude, is a new broom. Like, you could, like, almost like just like see him saying that, you know, like, yeah, we just need a new broom and right. sweep off the front steps every morning, twice a day, even. You know, right. Like, you see him, you know, like, that's perfect.
Well, in the middle of their chat, a bear comes. The bear, right?
The bear.
And I don't know what I don't know what I would do if a fake bear were to come up to me, but it might, I would probably, now I know, I would say, you're not a real bear as it mauls me. It's
yeah. You're gonna be like, I saw this on TV.
Sure,
you're
feels real. but Lauren is a quick person sometimes. So here we go.
Brian, but Mr. Gray.
No, Brian, no.
So this is what I've heard you're supposed to do: is make a ton of noise. And it scares them away. We see Sully in battle mode. He pulls out his bow and arrow. He's getting ready. But he decides, no, he scared him away. All good.
It's the bow and arrow, not the tomahawk, by the way. Which yeah. is weird.
Well, he's got to put it down in one try. I would imagine the tomahawk would only maybe injure. He would have to like put this thing down right through the heart. He probably asked Wolf, like, Wolf, which one? Tomahawk or bow and arrow? tap twice for the bow and arrow. Poor Wolf. Yeah, and you know, one of the things I learned about the wolf dog, the wolf character, is that it was the same dog from Lost Boys, which is just really great.
Really?
Yeah. Did you see The Lost Boys?
No, I haven't.
Neither one of you have seen it. All right. God, I'm dating myself. All right.
So, but I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be like, it's Wolf.
Yeah. You got to watch it just because it's Wolf. And it's Wolf yeah. way before this, too. It's like 8 years prior to this.
Yeah, it's one of his early roles.
He brought a lot to the table, actually, Sean.
Yeah.
All right, so, yeah, so Sully is kind of still staying behind, making sure everything is okay. He walks up to them and kind of is like, hey, I just happened to be walking by on my way to Subway Hero.
Yes. I love how he just walks up all like, oh, hey, what's up, guys?
I was on my daily walk.
Yeah.
Morning.
Sully. You won't believe what happened. Mr. Bray fought for bear last night.
Did he?
Biggest bear you ever saw? He had his treat up there for days. He almost ate me alive.
There was nothing.
Sounds like something to me.
What are you doing here?
Your ma and I want you to come home, Brian.
I can't. I'm running away.
Running away is not going to stop what's happening to you, Brian. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be confused about what you're feeling. Right now happens to be one of them. I know you can't always put it into words. You don't really want to talk about it sometimes, but if you ever need to talk about it, I'll be there to listen.
I think you whispered in your ear, if you ever want to do something with that hair, let me know. We'll work. I'll get you some gel, kid.
I can hook you up.
Gives him a wink, like we'll take care of that hair. No problem.
Yeah, right.
One of the weirder things is the next prank where they blow up the outhouse that I've never seen before. Who blows up an outhouse?
Yeah, I know. And then I'm like trying to figure out like where this was in relation to the town because we haven't seen it. Is this like some sort of offshoot, like behind the barber shop that he's going Maybe. To?
You have to have outhouses, right? I mean, it's they didn't have indoor
it's
plumbing.
Just, like, we've never have seen them, so I just don't know like where they were. I guess like they were maybe like just behind the buildings. I don't know.
Sean's like, it was a we had a lot of bathrooms. It was a set.
Yeah.
And actually, it was actually filmed behind where the barbershop was. So.
Oh, well, there we go.
Nice. But yeah, so he uses, I guess, a small stick of dynamite. I'm not really sure, like a cherry bomb.
And yeah, right. And he, like, it's just so funny because he's, like, waiting for Jake to go in there. And then he, like, creeps up all funny behind the outhouse and, like, lights it with his, like, cigar. It's great.
It was like ubiquitous cigar.
Yeah, he's always smoking.
Yeah, you don't see that on television very often anymore.
Yeah,
unless it's the bad guy. I guess Hank is the bad guy sometimes.
Well, he kind of is.
They
but he's
all
not.
Are. I mean,
he's complex, you know. He's kind of the bad guy, but you find out stuff about him that you're like, maybe he's not so bad.
But you know, another thing is, like, pretty much everybody on the show at some point becomes the bad guy, except for Sean's character, of course. And although you did steal in that episode.
Well, I mean, other than like spying on your sister twice, I don't think you ever did anything too bad.
Well, no, he stole the train. Remember, he shoplifted.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You did steal the train. Oh, and actually, you also like started that fire in town too. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of problems, kid.
Yeah.
It's a bad apple.
He is. So,
it's all that hanging out with that Steven guy, you know?
Yeah.
And the other guy, and Kyle.
Yeah. All right, with Kyle.
Kyle's another one that we think is kind of interesting. I don't know. Do you know the name of his, the actor's name, Kelly?
I don't remember it offhand.
But he has almost like a Brooklyn accent, which is really funny. And he's like, Brian. And it's just kind of one of those things we've picked up on. Like
I don't remember that character name, but
yeah, he's like the kid in Fifi's First Christmas. Like when you're like kind of hanging out with Sarah, but then there's
he's
this other,
the other
kid,
love
Kyle,
interest,
who like also kind of attracts Sarah, and she's kind of like hanging out with him and stuff. Yeah,
the bully.
And he's just like this little like badass.
It's kind of funny. So here we go. You point out, Kelly, that Sully has like really good people skills in this particular episode.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
play.
I mean, I kind of alluded to that earlier, but I'm like, he's like the only one who can really, like deal with these, like what people are going through in a way that like makes them cope with it. Where like everybody else is just telling them that like, oh, you're acting ridiculous. Or like, why are you doing this? Or
he's
like,
so
you're
worldly.
Wrong. Or, you know.
Yeah. Sully's so worldly. He just understands us all.
Well, you know, the Cheyenne say.
Cheyenne say? Sure do.
Yeah, Cheyenne say.
Yeah, sure do.
Sure did.
Yeah.
He's growing up so fast.
Still a lot of boy left in him.
That's another thing. We're hanging out with the Cheyenne. And some of these outfits that they're wearing are just incredible. And that's another thing, Sean, that you must have been around a lot, is just Native American like costume design. And I mean, there's so much authentic level costumes in this.
Yeah. And they did a good job of bringing in the, using Larry Sellers as consulting on it and other Native American people to bring in to be kind of that consultant to make sure that they were getting it right.
Yeah, and I feel like they pulled it off without it, because it's easy to do this kind of thing and not pull it off correctly. And I feel like the show was really respectful to it. And really, I don't know, I just thought that they brought a lot to the table. It's another reason why I kind of wish I knew about the show far sooner than when Kelly forced me to watch it.
That's it. We'll be for a while.
Say goodbye to Brian for me, would you?
Hey, Lauren.
Don't think you're going to talk me out of going.
Wasn't going to try. But you can't leave till you get your new name.
What new name?
The Indians take a new name after a big event happens in their life. I told Cloud Dancing about you saving Brian. He said, your Cheyenne name should be the one who stands against the bear.
Got anything shorter? It's kind of a long one.
So
not, you know, like Cloud Dancing, that's kind of a cool name.
Wow. Tell him I said thank you. Goodbye, Sonny.
You can't leave until after the ceremony.
What ceremony?
Part of getting your new name.
I don't want to be in no engine ceremony.
Torrin, you are going to insult them if you don't.
What am I got to do?
Got to dance with the elders?
I ain't dancing with a bunch of Indians.
Torrin, this is a great honor. They want to give you an eagle feather.
What for?
Because the Cheyenne cherish the wisdom that comes with age. Even though a man can no longer hunt, he's still a great value to the tribe. He becomes a father to all sons, counsel to all men.
So they have the little rave, I guess, and
rave.
No, I think it's pretty nice.
You should play the part though at the beginning when Cloud Dancing gives him the feather, because when Cloud Dancing does this like presentation, he's like, thank you. The way he says it is really funny.
From this point on, you will be known as Netsehe Kone, Nidos Napiko.
Well, thank you.
It's just...
It's so funny.
And he lifts the feather up like, I got it, look at me.
Yeah.
I won the award. It's I didn't notice that before. It's kind of funny, but it's a cool scene with a lot of drumming and a lot of really authentic like different outfits, and I think that's really just a really nicely shot scene.
Yeah.
Well, and then like Sully has incredibly not only gotten Lauren to kind of cope with his whole aging thing, but he also actually got Lauren to participate in this. And Lauren is, like, typically not one to support or partake in, you know...
anything.
Lifestyles that aren't his own, right? Like, yeah. He's not really supportive, generally, of, Native Americans or, you know, anybody that's not him,
yeah,
really.
Anybody who's different, yeah.
Yeah, so it's actually kind of incredible that Sully even, like, talked him into doing this. And then, like, he's, like, enjoying it, too. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he, like, got into it, which I thought was really good for the character.
He really warms to it and starts to enjoy it.
He goes back to the mercantile, which I did. Did we get an explanation as to why he returned to the mercantile, or... you know, was it just because receiving of the name and the feather?
Yeah, I think it's like because that kind of, made him cope with it. So he's kind of like okay with it. And he's all like, I'm going to stick around. I don't need to go to Bolivia.
Bolivia. Why? And I looked into like Bolivia in 1870, and there really wasn't much going on. It's such a weird, random country to decide to go to in 1870. Or now. You know, just no offense to our Bolivian listeners, of course.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Dear Mark.
Yeah.
How dare you? Sorry. I love the, like, animals that are always in the background, or the dogs that are always barking in the background. Yet, it's Wolf. I mean, it's pretty... And
yeah,
Pop.
We hardly ever... I mean, like, Robert E. is supposed to have a dog, but we never see the dog.
It's referenced, but... Yeah, aside from Wolf, there's Pup, and that's it, I think, for the most part. Oh, and that Shaggy dog.
Yeah, the Barnaby or whatever. Yeah,
but we bring that dog up too much. He was only in one episode.
Right.
So strange. But in this, I hear owls in the side.
Yeah.
Lauren?
Yeah?
You ready? Why don't you go sit over there by the lamp? Lauren, something I need to say to you.
Not necessary.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize for calling you an old fool.
Maybe I was acting like one.
I just never seen you like that before.
Called midlife crisis, or in his case, older than midlife, but I don't know. I thought it was nice that she apologized, and I don't know what was in his hair to be able to just be washed up.
Yeah, like
even as a viewer,
crazy, right?
Even from a fictional point of view and as a viewer, like, what could it be?
Yeah.
You know what? Would it have been shoe polish?
Oh, it could be shoe polish if it stunk. That would have been funny, too.
Mm.
Would Jake use shoe polish, though? Hmm.
That just came to me.
Yeah, it could be.
I wonder. Yeah, how easily would that like wash out of hair?
Shoe polish?
Yeah.
It's probably a petroleum-based product, so probably not so easily.
So, no, I'm like, No, I'm just like thinking about it. I was like, I mean, I feel like doing the Lauren laugh. I feel like it would, like just especially since his hair was so light. I feel like it would just sort of like, oh man, it would be hard to get out.
We go on these tangents. We make believe it's real.
Yeah.
So Brian promises not to spy on his sister anymore, and has to pinky promise.
Here we go. Don't be a weird creeper.
Any other girl in town, just not this one.
Yeah.
And I promise never to spy on you again. What about your friends?
I won't let them. All right.
Sell you a nickel.
I love the delivery of that line, by the way, Sean. You're like, I won't let them.
I won't let them.
I just think he nailed it. It was perfect.
Yeah. He also has his hands on top of the table. Like, he's going to get hit or something.
Yeah.
And Michaelis is so proud that he's apologizing.
Forgive you, but if this ever happens again, I'll
lean. Shake his hand.
Wait, was something you want to tell him?
I don't know, Sean, you rolled your eyes there, which I thought was very funny, too. It's a pretty sarcastic type of thing. It's like, whatever. I'm going to spy all I want.
I'm glad you're home.
He's like rolling his eyes like, that's the thing about spying. If you do it right, no one knows you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he kind of pats her on the back.
Sorry,
and
I'm just sorry I got caught.
Yeah.
Next time I won't get caught.
Yeah.
He kind of taps her on the back in a very condescending way as well.
We all are.
Like, it's time for you to grow up, Colleen.
Good. Now let's get ready for bed.
Yep.
I don't need to talk to him again.
No.
So you talk to him and he knows everything he needs to know.
Well, Lauren talked to more than I did, but I think between the three of us, Brian got an education.
So you don't think that I...
I hear you laughing, Sean. It's like ridiculous. This is where you got your education, Sean.
Yeah.
Come on.
Could have done it by myself.
I do. Plenty of boys have been raised up just fine by one woman, but the truth is, there are times when a boy needs to be around other men. And if he didn't have me or Lauren, you'd find somebody Brian could spend time with.
What did Lauren tell him about women?
He said,
that's what we want to know too, because it took apparently 12 hours at least. We were from like daybreak to sunset. After sunset.
Well, Michaela, you said that you want a broom.
Yeah. Something practical.
Yeah, something practical.
Yeah, it'd be like so hilarious if Sully just like reaches behind himself and he's like, got you something. It's like a broom with like a bow on it.
That'd be awesome. It's a very fancy
one. One thing that all men need.
What's that?
Freshly swept floors.
That'd be awesome. It's a very Ralph Cramden moment.
Love.
Aw, love. See, Kelly.
Okay, so do you think that's really what Lauren
no.
said? Because, you know, like when he has that scene with Lauren and they kind of like drop off, like, women have something that we need, and then like they just sort of drop off and you're all like, ooh, what's that gonna be like, what's he gonna say? And then like Sully's all like, oh, Lauren says they have one thing we need, it's love. And I'm like, is that just like your nice way of saying what Lauren told him?
Yeah. I think these days. Sully's the hippie. He tells everybody, that's all you need, buddy. It's all you need. Yeah. Some love. A lean to and some love.
Yeah.
Love gives a man courage.
What did you tell him?
It's only one thing I know about women. You gotta be lucky enough to meet the right one. And then never let go.
even through federal crimes.
Yeah, right.
and becoming best friends with the president. All these kind of great things. Well, I think that's the end of the episode. I thought this was a very sweet episode. Cute.
I like it. I think that it deals with some pretty like heavy topics in a really fun and kind of lighthearted way that still is respectful.
Yeah, I think it's also, I think that it's dealing with talking to a child about sex is another thing that is never going to be easy for anybody.
Right.
Except for, you know, Sully, of course. and this is where you learned everything, Sean. So, yeah, you turned out pretty okay.
Yeah.
But, Sean, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and coming on here and doing a whole episode. I mean, you lasted for the whole thing. I mean,
yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me. It was fun. That was a fun one to reminisce on. And, not that every episode wasn't well written and well directed and well acted and everything like that, but there are some of them that I think are really, really well done. And I think this was one of them.
Yeah. I think this was a really fun episode. And
And it was really cool getting some kind of behind the scenes stuff, like the person in the bear suit and the looped in stuff and everything else. That was cool. It was like, it's really fun to kind of hear the, you know, what was going on the set when it was being done and everything too. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, fans that listen will like to hear that stuff too. So it's very good to get that.
But again, Sean, thank you so much. And you're always welcome to come back if we can trick you into coming back onto the show.
Sounds good.
I had a great time.
Yeah, me too.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quinncast in iTunes.